Earnouts. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So what are earnouts?
Well, an earnout is basically it's a provision in an acquisition agreement that sets aside a portion of the purchase price and makes it contingent on how the business that's being acquired performs over a period of time after the deal's closed.
And how is the formula for an earnout typically determined?
Well, there's usually some sort of a performance metric, financial, sometimes something different than that, but usually some sort of a performance metric that's established as a target for the seller to meet over an agreed-upon period of time. As I said, it's often financial. It doesn't have to be. For example, a lot of times there are product development milestones or regulatory milestones. You see that a lot in pharma deals, some variation of where you are with the FDA with respect to a particular drug or device or what have you is a metric that you sometimes see used for contingent consideration payments in those deals. The financial metrics can be revenue, EBITDA, net income, whatever the parties want. Sellers typically want to have a preference for a top-line number. Obviously, they're incentivized to drive sales as much as they can, while the buyer wants a bottom-line number. So they tend to try and push for net income or EBITDA or something that's a little more bottom-line oriented than just a revenue number.
And how common are they, / how is it determined that a particular deal should have one?
Well, they get used a lot in situations where the seller thinks it's worth more than the buyer does. It's a way to bridge the gap from a valuation perspective by giving the sellers a chance to get more cash down the line if the business lives up to their expectations. A lot of times these get tossed in late in the negotiating process to try and get a deal. You don't see them too often in public company deals. You have these, you know, strange creatures called CVRs that are sort of contingent value rights that people put in deals that are sort of a public company equivalent of earnouts, but there are all sorts of securities issues associated with earnouts in the public setting, so they're more common, I think, in private deals, and they're fairly common because they are helpful in getting to the finish line. You know, if you're late in the deal and you're still pushing back and forth, and there's some skepticism about value, it's a way to get the parties together to get the deal done.
And who keeps track of whether the earnout is properly paid out after the deal is done?
The agreement that when you have an earnout, the agreement is typically pretty elaborate. There's reporting provisions that are put in the contract. The buyer has to provide information about the performance of the company versus the targets. A lot of times there are very specific provisions about how revenues and expenses are going to be determined, how you're going to treat intercompany transactions, the deal expenses, all that type of thing. One of the things that is usually very heavily negotiated is the degree of control that the seller is going to retain over the business. Seller, they want the money. They want the chance to maximize the value here, and their concern is the buyer might play games to avoid having to pay the earnout, gut the business, or throw expenses on it that don't make some sense, or just essentially not run it in the way that the seller thinks would maximize its earnout's potential. Most earnout agreements have some sort of dispute resolution provision, referring disputes to an arbitrator or an independent accountant if there are financial issues involved. But a lot of the claims that get made are outside the scope of the dispute resolution provision, and you sometimes end up in court.
And how often do they result in litigation?
I think the answer is probably quite a bit. Despite these dispute resolution provisions, a lot of the stuff, there can be ambiguities, interpretive issues. Seller may claim that the dispute doesn't involve the earnout calculation itself, but whether the buyer acted in bad faith. They talked about they burdened the company unfairly or inappropriately. They delayed completing transactions that would have made some significant money until after the earnout period expires. Gamesmanship claims like that get under the rubric of bad faith. Sometimes there's ambiguity in a term relating to a payment milestone that ends up being litigated. Being real specific about the terms in the agreement is helpful to avoid that, but even there's a risk that a court may come in and wave around language like implied covenants of good faith and end up requiring payment. There's a fairly recent Delaware case, SRS versus Valiant, where despite very explicit language about payment milestones in the contract, the court found some wiggle room.
Good stuff. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.